Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, and it continues our idea of kings. This is when Jesus came before Pilate, and if you remember, Pilate was kind of worried about this new king of the Jews, so Pilate asks him about it. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again and summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" And Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. I hope you liked that opening hymn today. It's fun to sing that hymn. Did you parade down with your pledge card, lifting it high in the air? Lift high the pledge card. Did you hope that all the world will someday bow before you as you bring your pledge card down to the front, as the song suggests? Or maybe the opposite is what we should have done. Shouldn't we be more humble, like the poor widow we talked about in last week's scripture? You may have a problem with that hymn, as I do. Somehow, my democratic liberal sensibilities are just bothered by that hymn. The triumphalism of marching down, holding high the cross, and making all the world bow down before it just seems wrong to me. We good liberal Democrats in America kind of recoil at the idea of bowing down before a king, or worse, having anyone bow down before us. We want everybody to be equal. We want some vast democratic just society for everyone. What's this about everybody adoring anyone's glorious name and bowing down before anyone? I just have trouble with that hymn. When I graduated from seminary too many years ago, we had a graduation ceremony in the grand and glorious Gothic Cathedral of Princeton University. And the senior class got to vote on the processional hymn. Well, many of my friends were campaigning for "Let There Be Peace on Earth," or "Called as Partners in Christ's Service." Peace and partnership sounded good to us, but this was the beginning of the 1980s, and guess what? One hymn won the contest by a long shot: "Lift High the Cross." So I had to bow my head and process into that cathedral in my hood and gown to that triumphalistic hymn. Somehow I'm just uncomfortable with the idea of my faith being connected with bowing down and lifting high a scepter and kings, even if we are lifting high a cross. Today is Christ the King Sunday in our church calendar. It's a day for hymns like that. It's the last day of our church year, if you keep up with those kinds of things. It's kind of the New Year's Eve of the Christian calendar. Next week, we start all over. We start a new year next week with Advent, and we start anticipating the coming of Christ. But today, we're at the end of that journey. Today is the day we celebrate the rule of Christ, the reign of Christ the King, the day when all the world truly does bow down before him and adore his holy name. But we still have this aversion to kings that's so common in American culture. As I discussed with the children, most of us kind of grew up hating kings. There was King Midas, who wasted all that money. There was that evil King Henry VIII, who chopped off all those heads. And then we fought that Revolutionary War to get rid of King George, even if we did have a new King George recently. Maybe instead of Christ the King Sunday, we should have Christ the democratically elected popular representative of the people day. Instead, who wants a king? Especially not a king in church. And I think that's kind of why we Presbyterians don't ever pay much attention to this day. I hardly ever remember doing anything much with Christ the King Sunday, particularly not growing up in my Southern Presbyterian church. More important for us, it's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So we focus on giving thanks and forget all this king stuff. But this year, when Maggie asked me to preach on this Sunday, I looked up the scriptures and I got to thinking. And then I looked at all the hymns that are for Christ the King Sunday, and there's dozens and dozens of them. We'll sing a few of them later. And I began to wonder, maybe we have the wrong idea about this king, about Christ as our king. Remember, we're not talking about some human ruler here. But instead, we're recognizing the divine power of the universe, the ultimate force for good, for love, for peace. That's who we acknowledge as our ruler on Christ the King Sunday. It's not Irwin the King Sunday or Maggie the Queen Sunday, and thank God not George Bush or even Obama the King Sunday, for very good reason. Acknowledging Christ as King is a very different thing altogether. I teach a philosophy course in my college, and one of the things I like to emphasize there is how much Plato and the other philosophers despised a democracy. Plato thought that a democracy was the worst kind of government, because for Plato, that meant that the most popular, ignorant personalities with celebrity appeal to the masses, those would be the ones elected leaders. Plato thought that a good republic ought to have the wisest and the best leaders. He called it a meritocracy. Only the smartest and the most skilled, the greatest, wisest philosophers could be the leaders of Plato's republic. He thought we should never ask the ignorant masses to make those leadership decisions, but we must only choose the wisest to lead us. And a look at some of the recently elected leaders in our state and our country certainly can affirm Plato's concern. Who can argue when you look at Congress's bickering or the California legislature unable to come up with a budget or the White House in recent years that the masses have elected the wisest and the best to lead our country? I think not. So maybe a meritocracy isn't so bad. But that's not even what we're talking about here. We're not talking about political governments. We're talking about an ultimate allegiance, an allegiance beyond politics. We're worshiping Christ the King. That's the best kind of meritocracy. The ruler before whom we bow is not some earthly fallible person, not even the wisest person, but this is the king, the leader, the ruler of the universe. This is the love that will not let us go. We worship and bow down before the peace that passes all understanding. Maybe that's not such a bad thing. Let's take just a minute and review a little biblical history that our scripture passages led us to. It might help us understand this a little bit better. If you remember back in the Old Testament, after the Hebrew people, the nation of Israel, had left Egypt in the Exodus and they moved into the Promised Land, for many, many years, they did not have a king. They only had judges and tribal leaders. They all worshiped God, and that was good enough for them. But then the political situation got a little dicey, and people started clamoring for an earthly king. The prophet Samuel kept saying, God can be your king. You don't need an earthly king. But they wanted to be like the nations around them that all had kings. So finally, Samuel gave in and said that they could have a king. And like all stupid humans, they chose the wrong guy. According to the Bible, they looked around the room and they picked the tallest and nicest looking guy in the room, not the wisest. Well, Saul turned out to be a terrible king, And God soon made arrangements for Samuel to find a new and better king. So he picked the little runt, the pretty boy out watching the sheep, to be the new king. This was the King David. This was the turned out to be the best king Israel ever had. He established the city of Jerusalem. He centralized the power of the nation, and he made Israel into a powerful, good nation. And eventually, at the height of King David's power, God spoke to him through the prophet Nathan, and God made David a covenant promise that Annie Scott read about just a minute ago. God promised David that his descendants would be on the throne forever, no matter what. David's descendants would rule forever. That's what we heard remembered in that psalm earlier. God said to David, "Your sons and their sons forevermore shall sit on your throne." Well, the people of Israel took this to heart. They were proud of this God-given king they had forever. And then when Babylon came along and completely destroyed the city of Jerusalem and killed all of David's descendants, they were pretty much in despair until their ideas turned heavenward. And they began to think, well, if God promised this, God's not going to let us down. So God will give us a king. God will send a new king. And this is where the idea of the Messiah came from. The Messiah means anointed one, a king. They expected God to send a new King David, just as God had promised. Well, we Christians have taken up that idea. We understand that God has sent that new king. We see Jesus as the new King David, this Messiah, the anointed one. But Jesus is not the political power that the Jews expected. According to the Gospel of John, when Pilate was worried about his power, he asked him about this, and Jesus said, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were in this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me handed over from being handed over. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." In other words, Jesus is a new and different kind of ruler, but better. And in those apocalyptic visions that we heard Daniel say a few minutes ago, the new king will come to reign in the heavens. Daniel said, "I saw one like a human being coming with clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and kingship, and all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion will be an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed." That's the kingdom. That's the king we celebrate today at the end of this Christian calendar. Christ is the one who comes like a human to the throne, but trailing clouds of glory, before whom all nations shall bow. Over the past liturgical year, we've relived the birth, the baptism, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. And today, the end of the year, we celebrate that final victory. We celebrate the new and different kind of king, a new King David, the King of the Jews, the Messiah, Christ the King on the throne again as God promised. But not a political leader necessarily. This is not a human ruler. This is not King Henry VIII. This is not a dictator, a cruel, unjust king. This is not even one of Plato's meritocracy rulers. No, this is the rightful Lord of the universe back on the throne again. Jesus didn't come to bring political power and prestige. He didn't want people to bow down to him out of fear of his power or even out of deference to his greatness. He died on a cross, after all. That's about the most humble as anyone can get. No, this is a forever kind of king. His is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away. This king brings a different kind of promise to our world. This is the Messiah, the Christ, God Almighty on the throne. And that is great joy. That is our hope for the future. And what difference will that make? If Christ is indeed king, does that even matter? If we lift high the cross and all the world adore his sacred name, does that make our world a better place? Well, yes, it does. As Christian people, we have to believe that. It doesn't mean that we have to be triumphalistic and lord it over others. But if Christ is king, that makes all the difference. We spend so much time worrying about things. We look around the world and we want to know how things are going to come out. Will the fragile coalition hold to pass health care reform in Congress? Will I lose my job? Will I do okay on exams in school in a few weeks? Will my kids grow up healthy and smart? Is my marriage going to survive? How can I help the homeless find shelter in the city? Will my family, who are going to gather this week for Thanksgiving, have too many arguments and fight? Will the church pledge drive bring in enough money to pay the bills? That's life. We agonize over these and 1,000 other worries. And we do all we can to make things better. We study and we work hard. We give. We strive to bring about justice. We care for each other. We try to take care of our health. We vote to elect good people in government. All of those things are important. They help make our lives better. But it can get awfully tiring. And it can be very discouraging. The economy is still in shambles. The politicians continue their partisan squabbling. Our health is not good. And I can't seem to lose those extra pounds. The good causes seem to be losing all the time. And the church pledge drive, well, it doesn't look too promising to bring in thousands of extra dollars this year. What are we to do? We whine, and we moan, and we try a little harder. Poor me, poor us, what will we ever do? Wringing our hands together, we'll just keep working and maybe it'll get a little bit better. Friends, you forget. This is Christ the King Sunday. Jesus is Lord. All those earthly strivings, as much as they are important, they pale in comparison. Christ the Lord is risen today. The first shall be last. Justice shall reign throughout the earth. Joy to the world. Lift high the cross. The love of Christ proclaim. And all the world will praise his holy name. If we truly believe it, if we can let go of all of our earthly kings and queens and princes, if we can hold on to Christ the King, if we can lift high that cross, we can give our ultimate allegiance beyond all those earthly cares. We have a glorious heavenly ruler. And we have a kind of hope, a joy that will never, ever let us go. We have an ultimate hope, a final joy, because Christ is King. So let us leave today and let us crown the Messiah. Let us bring the new King David to a world that badly needs that joy and hope. The Christ as ruler beyond all our earthly cares. Let us be absolutely confident that the God of love, the Prince of Peace, the joy of all creation is King. Love and peace and joy will rule. Awake, my soul, and sing. And all hail that matchless King throughout all eternity. Crown him with many crowns.